So we'll start with a little chazara on what we did yesterday. So if you can, open up to Daf Tes Amud Beis, and we'll review the last piece of the sugya, in which the Gemara says that if the makneh, if I want to transfer ownership to you over an object, I can stipulate that I want the kinyan to be the way I want the kinyan, meaning I can up the ante and demand a higher standard, so to speak, of the kinyan. That's called the omerle knei kiderch knei adam konin. And as a result, if the kone wants to acquire ownership and he does a rechiva in the city, then he's not going to be kone. Why? Because usually people don't ride horses in the city. And Rashi explains that the reason why people don't ride horses in the city is because it's snius. It's not behaving, it's not behooving of a person. It's like, you know, only the chief, you know, commander of the army would have the chutzpah of riding his horse in the middle of the city. You know, people would part ways with him. So the Gemara here on top of Daf Tes Amud Beis offers four different qualifications, which means four different exceptions to the rule, where you could actually acquire ownership through rechiva, even in the city. Number one, in Rishus HaRabim. Number two, in the case of an Adam Chashuv. Number three, in the case of an Isha. Number four, in the case of an Adam Zila, that he's absolutely below standards. He's Zal. So those are the cases in which he can acquire ownership of the object despite the insistence or the stipulation on behalf of the Makneh that it has to be kiderech, kni kiderech, shebnei adam konin. And we explained yesterday that this Gemara, here on top of Daf Tes Amud Beis, is a major breakthrough, because the Gemara is now assuming that kiderech, the words kiderech, bnei adam konin, is very subjective. It's not one size fits all. You know, what would a normal person do as far as rechiva be'ir? And the truth is that in 9 out of 10 cases, rechiva be'ir is a no-no. It's not acceptable. Rashi says it would violate tznius. So that would have objectified, or shall we say disqualified on an absolute basis, rechiva as a kinyan in the case of Das Acheres Machne, when the Machne says, I want you to be kone kiderech shekone minshi. But the answer is no. The Machne doesn't mean to absolutely exclude Rechiva. He can accept and he can live with Rechiva as long as the conditions of Kidarko for this particular Kone can be fulfilled. So it's no longer objective. You and I would not ride a horse in the city, but any of these four categories or these situations would allow for a normal behavior, and it's not a Chisor and Tznius to ride a horse in the city. And therefore, if any of these four conditions avail or appear on the surface, then that's considered in those particular situations to be kiderech shekonim inshi, and therefore the kinyan would be valid. So that's more or less a review of what we did yesterday.
Just a clarification, a second.
Yeah.
But if it's a real Mashiacha, but it wasn't the form of Mashiacha that the Mocher wanted.
Right.
So that's, we're saying that would be
invalid. Right.
So Mashiacha itself is not, of course, you're right, if the Bas Mach
right.
or whatever.
Correct. That the Das Machne is dependent upon what he wants, what the Machne wants.
Right.
And that goes in two different directions. Number one, it could possibly qualify a kinyan which normally we would have expected, anticipated to be unqualified or disqualified. And on the other hand, it could disqualify a kinyan that we would have anticipated to be qualified.
So what we're saying really, vanilla Mashiach, we want to call it that.
Vanilla? Is that what you said, vanilla? Yes. Well, what does vanilla mean? That it could be.
It's everybody agrees.
Oh, isn't there a similar phrase by a certain kind of bird? What's called a chameleon? Or no? You know, that it takes on the color wherever it is of its environment?
That's a lizard.
Yes. A lizard?
No, so.
But it's a phrase in English about it. Yeah.
So, okay, plain vanilla. Mashiach is good for Hefker. That nobody's going to argue with. But if there's a machne involved, a mocher or a machne, then it has to be, he has the right to stipulate what form the kingdom can take place.
Well, again, I would say that it works in two directions. If you're comparing mocher to hefker, it works in two directions. There may be a kinyan which in Hefker is absolutely unacceptable,
right,
and that would be Shmuel's Rachu,
right,
and yet that same Rechiva would be acceptable in the case of a Das Machna.
Right.
And the flip side would be you could have a kinyan that in Hefker would certainly be valid, and the Mocher could say, I don't want that kinyan.
So when we're talking about Mashiacha,
that's the vanilla.
Mashiacha has to be a good Mashiacha, we're really talking about Hefker. Because when it comes to Nekachomenka, I don't care what's on Mashiach, whatever the guys agree, that's good.
Well, yeah, but you know, this case that we're dealing with in Nekachomenka is the exceptional case. You know, normally when a mocher sells something, he just says do a kinyan, and then the lokeach, the kone, will decide which kinyan he wants to implement.
Right.
And as long as that kinyan fulfills the standards of kinyanim, it's fine. The exceptional
kinyan they have to.
Right, and not only that, it could be that even if in Hilchus Kinyoni Hefker would fail the test, it would fall short, shy of what would constitute a valid Kinyon, in Mekach Umemka it would be valid. Why? Because I'm being machnit to you.
No, but if he says do a valid Kinyon, and it's not a valid Kinyon in Hefker, then we still, it's not going to be good.
No, it would be valid in Mekach Umemka because of the power of Das Machnit.
He said, do a valid kinyan.
And Rechiva would now be valid. Even though Shmuel says that Rechiva is not valid in the case of Metziah. Do you follow? That's the Gemara that we did yesterday, that Shmuel would admit that although in Hefker I need a very heavy kinyan, and Rechiva unfortunately doesn't meet up to those demands, those standards, but in Mekach Umemka where there's a Das Machna, that even something which would be a bare bones kinyan would be valid. It wouldn't be valid in Hefker. And the flip side is that the mocher could also up the ante on the kinyan and say that kinyan which would be valid, let's say for example in Hefker, I'm not going to accept it. I want you to do the best kinyan. Maybe because, as we indicated yesterday, the mocher is not 100% sure, and he's always afraid that, you know, somebody might decide that this kinyan doesn't live up to the standards of Hilchus Kinyanim, and in order to clinch and guarantee that nobody will play around with this kinyan, he says, do the kinyan exactly the way people do this kinyan, you know, in the most perfect way. Okay, where are we up to for today? So we're on Daf Tesam in Beis, and we're up to Boi Rabbi Elazar. Let's see if we can find the place. It's three lines down from the top of Daf Tes Amin Beis. Boi Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara is now introducing a suffix. Before, on Daf Tes Amin Aleph, we had a case of a chamor, and we said that you could be kona chamor with the mosera. You remember about the mosera, right? Which means that there's something called Mashiacha, and again, in every case, whether it's a Chamor or a Gamal, we have to decide what is the normal way in which you would do a Mashiacha. And in the case of Gamal, you do a Mashiacha this way. In the case of Chamor, you stand and you grab onto the reins and you hit the animal in all these different forms. Boy, Rabbi Elazar. Now, in Rabbi Elazar's case, we are trying to effectuate a kinyan not on the animal, which was the subject of our discussion from Daf Zayin all the way till Daf Tes, but rather on kalim, on movable utensils that are sitting on top of an animal. So I say to you, I'm the mocher who owns these kalim, and you're the lokeach to acquire ownership of the kalim. Ha'omer l'chaveru mishoch behema zu. I want you to do a Mashicha on this animal. Now, if you would have stopped short right here, you would assume he's trying to be mocked in the animal. But that's not so. The Mocher in this case wants to retain ownership over the animal. He's not interested in selling the animal. But rather, Liknos Kalim Shaleh, the whole purpose of this Mashicha on the animal is for the purpose of being Kona the Kalim. Mahu. Would this be a valid Kinyan? In other words, if he would have said to him, then I want you to make a Mashicha on this behemoth and be Kona not only the behemoth, but also the Kalim, then in that case, once he's Kona the behemoth, the behemoth for the Lokeach now serves as a chatzer to be Kona the Kalim that are on top of the behemoth. But in a case where he's only interested in transferring ownership over the Kalim, can the Mashicha on the behemoth be considered a Mashicha on the Kalim?
Is that a derech kinyan for Kalim, Mashicha?
Yes, Mashicha is your classic Kinyan on Kalim. Well, all there are three Kinyanim that work in Kalim. They're all one. It's what you call a Kinyan Yad. Yad means when I transfer ownership or Rishus over the object. So that can be done through Mashicha, through Hagbah, through Mesira. In all these cases, there's a Kinyan Yad, which means that in Metaltalin, the purpose of the Kinyan is to transfer the object from one Rishus to the other Rishus. The problem here is that although he's using the behemah, when I say he, I mean the mocher, sorry. When he, the mocher, is using the behemah as a means through which he is giving the lokeach possession over the Kalim, the problem is that the Mocher is still retaining ownership over the behemoth. So in a sense, the Mashicha is now on the behemoth. It's not really a Mashicha on the Kalim.
Or is it?
Or maybe it's enough that the Kalim themselves move from place to place, not through a direct action on the Kalim in this case, but through the action on the behemoth. So what's paradoxical here is, and that's why Rabbi Loss is not so sure about this Kinyan, is that on the one hand, the Mashicha and the actual direct action is being done on an object which is not being transferred, if you follow me. There's no transfer of ownership on that object. But yet as a result of that direct Mashicha on object A, there's an indirect Mashicha on object B. So that if you take, you know, this reminds me of two sugyas. One sugya which we touched on here in Bava Metzia, another sugya is a sugya in Bava Basra, which I'll mention. The sugya that we did here, if you remember, was the case where you had a talis that was tied down to a pole and it was hefker, and somebody comes along and lifts up the part of the talis that's on the ground. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether you can achieve a kinyan in such a case. And the Gemara thinks, yeah, the first one to come along has a kinyan, even though he didn't lift up the talus. Why? Because he doesn't have to do a direct action to lift up the talus. He just has to achieve what's his goal. Rabbi said, what would you say is the substitute here that would explain why the kinyan is valid, even though he only lifted up, let's call it half the talus, if you will. I don't mean half literally, but part of the talus. What would be the tzad to say that he is Kona?
It's not on the ground anymore.
It. What is it? I'm going to ask you to use a brisket terminology for it. The Hefza, right? If you're a little bit of a brisker, right? The Hefza. In other words, the Gavra did a Maisa Mashicha or Maisa Agbah on half the talus. Yeah. But as a result of that Mashicha on half the talus, the Hefza itself was Mugba, completely off the ground with the help of the Amalek. So what are Kinyanim, or what constitutes a Kinyan? Is it the Maisa Gavra that we're focused on, or is it the Hefza? So that would be an interesting Shaila. Here too, if you take a look at the Maisa Gavra was on what?
Yeah, Fatalis.
No, no, I'm talking now a case of Reb Elazar. The Maisa Gavra was on what? On the Behemah. But the Heftza that was Nimshach, if there's such a word, is the Kalim. But I'm really reminded of a different sugya. And that's a sugya in Masechta Baba Basra. The Gemara has the following chakira or suffix, and the Gemara actually says the machlokas, and that's on Daf Peheim and Beis. Now I'll tell you, I'm not such a bucky in Masechta Baba Basra. Don't be impressed here with my bikinis. I know it from a story, and this story I heard from my Rebbe. But a different version of the story is printed in a sefer by Rav Zevin called Yishim V'Shitot. So I took the liberty of photocopying the story. If you want to take a copy, I only made 3 copies because I certainly didn't expect Jeff today. But as weather would have it, we lucked out. Although he didn't, but we lucked out. So you'll have to sort of share the 3 copies. Is that right?
There's 4.
Oh, there are 4 copies. Adarav. I didn't realize I made 4 copies. Okay, Ruach HaKodesh. Okay then, Rabosai? So now, let me give you a little bit of a background, not to the story, we'll get to the story in a minute, but rather to the Sugya in Baba Basra. The Sugya in Baba Basra wants to know about a case of Kalev Shalmocher Bershus Lokeh. So watch what happens here. I want to give you my kli, but my kli is sitting in my rishus. I'm the mocher. Mm-hmm. So the question is it? Let's say I'll give you the following example. Kalev shalokeh b'shus mocher means that although normally if you want to be kone something in a kli, what happens if that kli is in my rishus? That's the mocher. Can you be considered within my rishus? Let's say my rishus stretches from here, we're going to point to X, till here, point Y. So all this is my rishus. And now you want to be kone something when the kalim that you're using for the kinyan are in my rishus. Right, what we said is that the essence of a kinyan is that the lokeach, the kone, takes the object into his rishus through mashicha, through agbah, through mesira, whatever the kinyan might be, a kinyan yad. Here it's a little paradoxical. Why? Because the kalim remained in the rishus of the mocher. So, in a sense, the lokeach never really took the kalim into his rishus because it never went beyond the domain of the mocher. So that's going to be an issue in the Gemara in Baba Basra. So now let's talk about a story. I can't tell you exactly what year the story took place. My guess is it took place around the year 1900. I'm just guessing. And it took place in the city of Brisk. And here's the case. A man wants to divorce his wife. He's got to give her a get. He has the get written. She's not too excited about receiving the get. Now this has to do with a derabanan, not a doraisa, but although the doraisa man can give a get to his wife against her will, the derabanan, she has to accept the get. Okay, I'm not sure if it's a derabanan, maybe it's a cherem, whatever, I'm not going into that. Now, what does he do in order to fool her, so to speak? He puts the get into an envelope, mm-hmm. and he says to her, guess what, you got a letter from so-and-so today. She opens up the letter, and what's inside? Not a letter from so-and-so, but it's a get.
And it's in her hand now.
Oh, so now watch what happens. There are 2 cases. One case is where he actually takes the envelope with the get and puts it into her hand. And the other case is where he takes the envelope, which has a get inside, and he puts it on the table, and he says to her, pick up your envelope because you got a letter from so-and-so. Lo and behold, she picks up the envelope, and what does she find inside? A get. So in this latter case, where he did not deliver the envelope into our hands, but rather he put the envelope on the table, the Dayanim in Brisk said that that get is certainly not valid. Why? Because who picked up the get inside the envelope?
She did. And he never, Natan
Biyada. Yeah, what's that, right? And what's the flip side of Natan Biyada? What's that called? Do you remember? Tli? Tli? Gitech? Me'al Gavikak. Whenever you talk about Benos Yoda, yeah, this is the phrase that, you know, goes through half of the Masechta Gittin. Tli Gitech Me'al Gavikak. So that if he puts the get on the table inside an envelope and she picks up the envelope, yeah, that's clearly Tli Gitech Me'al Gavikak. Oh. So why did the Dayanim in Brisk think that maybe this kinyan would be valid, this get would be valid? After all, it's an open and shut case of Tli Gita Vagavi Karaka. Because there's a Gemara in Perek HaZorek in Gittin that says the following, that if a man takes a get and he puts it on the ground in a chazer, let's say, and he owns the ground, and then he's makna ha the chazer, she's Megureshes. Therefore, the Dayanim in Brisk thought that when he puts the get inside the envelope serves as a chotzer, and he owns the envelope. And when he says to her, pick up this envelope, he's being maknahar a chotzer, and the get is in the chotzer, and therefore the Gemara in Hazorik that says that a man could be makna a chotzer to an isha, and the get is in the chotzer, she's megureshes.
We're confusing karkos and metaltel here.
What are we confusing?
Karkos and metaltel.
Right, well, both serve as a chotzer, right? That's the assumption of Agamara. That if a man is makna, both an animal and kalim on top of the animal, the kone, even though he did nothing to the kalim, was kone the kalim because the behema, the animal, is now his chotzer. The suffix of Rabbi Lazar was in a case where he retains ownership on the animal and he has no interest in being machna the animal. Is this considered a hagbah or a mashicha on the kalim because he does mashicha on the animal? But if he was machna the animal, then the animal would serve as a kinyan chotzer. In the case of the matafa, since he's being machna the matafa, he's giving up a chotzer and now she has a get in her chotzer. And that itself is a kinyan. This is all the Dayanim in Brisk until Reb Chaim came into the room. Okay, then? So this is like Hakafa Aleph. Okay, before Reb Chaim comes in. So let's read it in Son. You see where I underlined Maisa Shekara Bibrisk?
Yes.
You have it at the bottom of your page?
Yeah.
Okay. Hahusha Nosan Gito Shekosfo Leishto Betoch Matafa V'nicho Al Gabi Hashulchan. And then he commands her to pick up the matafa, and lo and behold, she opens it up, and there's a get inside. L'chaira, before we blink, that's a case of Tli Gitech Me'al Gabi Karka. He puts the get on the ground, and she picks up the get. That's not Venosam B'yod, though.
Right.
Oh. However, this is what the Dayanim in Brisk thought. It's a case like the Gemara in Azorek, which you'll see 51, the footnote is Gittin Daf Chaf Aleph. Oh, I don't know, I know it from much later on, I involve or whatever it is, but okay, so I guess the Gemara appears in two places. Kosav Laget V'Nosan B'Chatzero. Right, now you and I would have said if a man writes a get and he puts it down on his ground, that there's nothing to talk about. But what does he do? Kosav L'Shtar Matana Olav.
Oh, meaning
on the chotzer, right? So he gives her a maton on the chotzer. He's makna on the chotzer. Is then kana also? She's kana the chotzer. Umisgareshes bo, and now she's megureshes with the chotzer. Why? Says the Gemara. This is one of the most famous statements in all of Masechta Gittin. Gita uchatzera boim keechad. In other words, she gets both the chotzer and the get keechad. which means that if a man puts a get into a woman's chatzer, she's mugureshes. Why? Because the chatzer is like her yad, and the Torah says v'nasan b'yada, and yada is chatzera. And here it's a very odd kind of situation because the get was actually in her chatzer before it was her chatzer. It was his chatzer. Do you follow? This is not a case of chatzera. Chatzera means that she owns a chatzer and he gives the get into a chatzer. But here the Gemara applies the principle of gita v'chatzera bar kachas. Simultaneously, she acquires ownership on the chatzer, and Mimela, she's megureshes because the get was given into her chatzer. Even though, again, Rabbi said it was given into whose chatzer?
His.
Into his chatzer.
It was still his when it was in
there. It was still his when he delivered it there, but since he gave her the chatzer, then it's considered as if she acquired the chatzer, and now, together with the chatzer, she's acquiring the get in her chatzer, and that's considered yada, that's considered avinasa v'yada. The enkam mishum tli gita v'agabi karka. Why? Because he is now giving her ownership over the matafa, correct? And the get is now going into her yad through the act acquiring in the active sense. Acquiring is the passive, into bequeathing. I don't know what word to use. When he's maknahar the matafa, he's in effect being maknahar a chatzer, and now she has the get in her chatzer, and the dayanim wanted to be machshir the get. Why? Because he's being maknahar the chatzer, and now she has the get in her chatzer, and that's called v'nasan v'yod. Okay? So Reb Chaim comes in and he asks one question: is her husband a Kohen? Do you know that's a catchphrase? That's a secret password. When you, in any case of get, when the Dayan says, "Is he a Kohen?" What does that mean? That means Safek Megureshes, which means that he can no longer live with her because he's a Kohen. Are you with me? That's just the lingo of the Rabbanan. So Reb Chaim comes in and he says, Safek Megureshes. So the Dayanim look at Reb Chaim like he's nuts. What do you mean, Safek Megureshes? This is a classic case of a person who puts a get into his own chatzah and he's maknah the chatzah. Okay. Liamito shel davar, Amar Reb Chaim, Eino dome l'sham. This is not a case of a man who puts a get into his chatzah and he's makdah on the chatzah. Why? He says, "Bameh odif mashaget bo michatzeiro lechatzeiro." Why is the case where he's makneh his chatzah to her? Why is that not a problem of v'nasan biyada? Of tli gitek megabi karka. You with me? Reb Chaim is going back to the original sugya, which he says he was on Chaf Aleph in Gittin, and he asks the question, well, he put the get into a chatzah. She's going to have to pick up the get. That's called Tli Gittin of Malikarka. Ella says, Reb Chaim, what's the Gemara talking about? What's the yisod that underlies the Gemara? Shaknas habalas achatzer hi hanasina. Means that she couldn't have had possession over the get because the get is in his chatzer. What facilitates her possession over the get? Is anybody able to answer that question for me? Again, he puts the get into her chatzer. Does she have access to that get? Could she grab the get? No. What gives her ownership over the get?
The fact that
he's makna the chatzer.
Right.
Says Reb Chaim, the haknas chatzer is considered a nesina. Why? Because she had no ability to acquire the get without owning the chatzer. Therefore, the hakna of the chatzer is considered v'nasan biyada.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
However, let's say that the chatzer was already in her yad. Let's say she was Hercules, and she's holding on to the chatzah. Now she has access to the get even without his haknah. Ulefi zekan b'maisa ha-matofa, harei haget hu biyada. Kvar, I'll add the word kvar. I feel in lo maknilo samatef, I get who bershus so. In other words, when a get is in his rishus because he owns the chotzer, then the haknas hachotzer could be considered a nesin on the get because she has no yad over the get because it's in his chotzer, not hachotzer. So what makes it possible, what facilitates her yad over the get is his hakna of the chotzer. But in this case, where the get is already in her yad because she's holding on to the matafa, she doesn't need his hakna over the matafa in order for her to have possession over the get. She's already got possession of it. It's clearly a case of tli gitech me'al ha'en karka. So let's read it inside. Ari aget hu biyada afilim lo haya maknes ha'matafa haya aget bershusa. The get is already on reshus. The ein haknas the ein haknas ha'matafa po'elis klum al himatsus aget bershusa. The get is already in a reshus. And in such a case, you cannot upgrade his hakna of the matafa to the status of an asinas get. In such a case, he can resume his marriage relationship with her even if he's a kohen, because the get is batel umavuta. So let's go over this one more time. The dayanim in Brisk first thought that this was tligit and megawi karka, and they answered no. He's being makna the matafa. And the Mela, she's going to the get. So originally the get was in his, bless you, his envelope. And it's exactly equivalent to the case where he puts the get in his chotzer, and then he's marked on the chotzer. Says Reb Chaim Nein, your equation is completely off base. When does haknas hachotzer constitute a maisa nesina? That's only if the get is in his chotzer, and she has no yad over the get. She's not holding on to the get. And his chotzer is a chotzer mishtameres. I'm just dramatizing it. You know, the lions are running around the chotzer. You know, he's got a fence that goes up to Shemayim. She has no access. Now he's makna the chotzer. Well, again, he's in her chotzer. That's called a nesina. So haknas hachotzer, which allows her to have a yad over the get, is considered nesina. You don't need a nesina into her chotzer. All you need is to make to do some sort of action that makes her yad over the get. And what gives her yad over the get? Haknas hachotzer, because it was in his chotzer, he was makna the chotzer. That's considered giving her a yad of the get. Says Reb Chaim, but if lo yitzur, the get was already in her yad, then clearly you could not say that she needed the haknas hamatafa in order to have a yad over the get. This is classic tli gitech me'agabi karka. There's no way that you could upgrade the haknas haget, the haknas hamatafa, to the status of giving her a yad over the get. She already has a yad over the get. The get is in fact in her hands. At this point, Reb Chaim says the get is meaningless. And the Dayanim now are about to say the get is invalid.
No, so he's not going to say is the husband a kohen?
Correct, it's irrelevant whether the kohen is kohen, because the get is invalid, and even if he's a kohen.
So why did you say he's kohen? And the first thing you said was his
kohen. Oh, so that's coming up around the bend. Because if you know Reb Chaim's style, Reb Chaim is, I hate to call it, he's a mafata. What do I mean he's a mafata? He sucks you in, and to the point where you would take a shvua d'oraisa that this is the halacha, and then he totally turns it upside down. Says Reb Chaim, is he a kohen? It's a safek gerush, and it depends upon a machlokus in Baba Basra Daf Pehei called Caleb shall mocher. Caleb shalokeach b'shus mocher. Let's go. Let's see it in song. Avol ein Reb Chaim mistapik b'kach. He's not satisfied. Who mamshich? Hadaver toli b'machlokes im Caleb shal mocher b'shus lokeach kana lokeach o lo kana lokeach. What does that mean? Can she acquire a yad over the get if the get is located in the chotzer in the Rishus of the Makne. The Makne is like the Mocher. The Gemara in Bava Basra is not talking about get. The Gemara is talking about a Mocher. And the Gemara wants to know, can the Mocher transfer ownership over Kalim in the Lokech if those Kalim are in the Rishus in the Mocher? Here also, says Rav Chaim, the same question arises. Can she be considered as having a yad on the get when the get is located where? In the matafa. And who owns the matafa? The husband owns the matafa. If the husband owns the matafa, he cannot give her a yad on the get because that matafa is his rishus. And if it's in his rishus, she doesn't have a yad on the get. The only way she can acquire a yad on the get is if he's maknaha the matafa. And in that case, it goes back to the original sugya that we started with, where a man puts a get into his chatzar. The only way she can get a yad on that get is if he's makna the chatzar. Therefore, the haknas hachatzar is considered a nesina. So if she doesn't have the ability to acquire the get without first acquiring the matafa, because the matafa is called Caleb Shel Mocher, if that be the case, then his hakna of the matafa is what gives her the yad, and she is megureshes. But the problem is, there's one man, the Omer Bava Basra, that says Caleb shall Caleb shall mocher b'shus lokea, right? No. Is kana lokea? He says in lo kana denimta sheilu lo makna la sa matafa lo haya lo haisa konas aget. And then he was maknar the chatzer. If he can accomplish such a kinyan, nimsa shafilu lo haya maknar lo samatafa, isa zocha beget. And therefore, haknas amatafa poels rak al amatafa bilvai velo al aget. And therefore, Reb Chaim Paskin that she's a Sofik Megureshes.
Even though the get's in the Matafa.
Though the get is in the Matafa, basically Reb Chaim is asking, what is the status of a get in a Matafa? Is the Matafa, I'm going to use my own terminology, and Reb Chaim maybe would get upset at me, I don't know, but is the Matafa a Chatzitza? What do I mean by a Chatzitza? It blocks the ability for her to have a Kinyan Yad on the get, because it's Caleb Shel Mocher, or whatever the details are. Do you follow? If I hold that the kinyan could be valid without the matafa, then he is not giving her a yad on the get. She already has a yad on the get. But if on the other hand I'm saying that as long as it's in the matafa, which is owned by the Baal, she cannot acquire that get, then the haknas matafa is in effect a haknas get, and therefore it's considered a nesina. So again, the main question of Chaim is whether or not giving her the matafa is necessary, right? Bequeathing the matafa to her, right? Transferring ownership over the matafa to her, is a precondition in her being able to be kona the get. Because he wants to give her the get, but he's saying you can only get the get if I give you the matafa, which is exactly the case of chatzer. Then he puts it into his own chatzer, and the only way she can acquire ownership on the get is if he gives her the chatzer. Since haknas chatzer becomes an asina. Here too, if she cannot acquire ownership on the get because it's in his matafa, the only way she can get ownership on the get is if he's makna on the matafa. Therefore, it constitutes an asina. V'nasan b'yod, she's megureshes. But if she can acquire ownership on the matafa, even without acquiring ownership, I'm sorry, if she could acquire ownership on the get, even without acquiring ownership on what? On the matafa, then his haknah on the matafa is nothing. It's meaningless. Because the get is already in her hand. And how did the get into her hand? Because she picked it up off the table. And that's called Tli Gittich Velgapikai. It's an unbelievable story. I heard a slightly different version of the story from Rav Soloveitchik. He would say that Rav Chaim, in order to explain this din of a man who puts a get into his chatzer and then he's marked on the chatzer, Reb Chaim would say, what happens, it's unbelievable that Reb Chaim said this, but that's what I heard from my Rebbe, what happens if a man puts a get into a, what's the word in English, a false limb,
prosthesis.
In a prosthetic arm. He puts the get into a prosthetic arm, and then he sews the arm onto her body. I mean, assuming she doesn't have an arm, let's say, just to make... This is how Reb Chaim would try to give a mashal that would clarify the Gemara. So what would you say? He puts the get into a prosthetic arm, and then he attaches the arm to her body. Would that be a nesina? So Reb Chaim said, yes, that's called a nesina. Why? Because the only reason that she has the get in her yad is because he attached the false limb to her body. So he made it possible for her to have a tfisas yad on the get. That's called Vinasa Vyada. And the same thing here in the chatzer. He puts the get into his chatzer. How does she get a tfisas yad on the get? It's by being makna on the chatzer. Now she has the get in her chatzer. But let's say the chatzer would be only a chatzitza, which means that since we have a case of Caleb shall mocher, Caleb shall okeach, you have to go through all the details of the sugya. I'm not learning about Masr now, but this Kaili, insofar as he hasn't been makna the Kaili yet, again, and he doesn't want to be makna the Kaili until he knows for sure that this will facilitate her ability to be kona the get. So he says right now, you know what? Ki'ilu, he says to her, I'm not going to be makna you the matafa. So now the question is, can she be kona the get itself? If you hold that the matafa is a chatzitza, meaning he cannot be makta her because he's holding back the matafa, then does that work in favor of the get or against the get, Rabbi Osai? I'm testing you to see if you followed me. Again, if I assume that the only way that the matafa is a chatzitza, she cannot acquire the get because it's in his chatzer, and that chatzer is preventing him from having a tfisas yad on the get, is that good news for the get or bad news for the get? No, it's good news for the get. Why? Because then she doesn't have access to the get. He's going to have to be makna her the matafa, and only after he's makna her the matafa, then she has a tfisas yad. Because the matafa is a chatzitza. If on the other hand the matafa is not a chatzitza, and even though it's in Kalim that belonged to him, she can nevertheless acquire ownership on the get, then it's tli gitach me'alikarka, because had the get get into her yad, she picked up the envelope, and the get is in the envelope. So it all depends upon whether I see the matafa as something that separates her, in a sense, wedges between her yad and the get. Physically, it wedges between her yad and the get. She's not holding on to the get. But on the other hand, she has a tfisa on the get. So the question is, if he retains ownership on the matafa, does that undermine her tfisa on the get? And if it undermines his tfisa on the get, her tfisa on the get, that's good news in Gerushin. Why? Because then he can be makna the matafa, and then through the matafa she acquires a kinyan chatzer, lo behold, she has a get in her chatzer, and that's called the nesina. So I'm just using this story of Reb Chaim to shed a little bit of light on our sugya over here. What's the status of the behema that's carrying the kelim? The makna wants to be makna only what? Yeah. Only the kelim. Where are the kelim located?
On the behema.
So she says, well, not she in this case, but the lokeach. Right, the lokeach says, I'm going to make a kinyan on the kelim. Where's your kinyan on the kelim? What mashicha did you do on the kelim? No, I did a mashicha on the behema. Well, how do I view this behema? If I was makna you the behema, then the behema is yours. It's a chatzah, and you're koning the kelim agav the behema. But if I'm not being makna you the behema, so then the behema becomes like the matafa. It's sort of like a means of giving him the kelim.
Yeah, but at least the
matafa. Wait, just one second, Yossi. I just want to see if I understand what I'm saying. Wait, then you'll slug me up. Before you slug me up, let me just. So give me a second. So what I'm suggesting is that if the behemoth remains in the possession of whom? Of the mocher, so then Rabbi Elazar's suffix is, well, does the lokeach have the ability to have a direct kinyan on the kelim if he's not going to be kona the behemoth and he's not touching the kelim? The kelim are all only located on top of the behemoth. So I'm suggesting that depends on the way Reb Chaim understands the matafa, which depends in turns on the sugya in Bava Basra. Remember, Reb Chaim was vacillating based on the sugya in Bava Basra, where the matafa is like a chatzitza and makes it impossible for her to make an acquisition over the get. She first has to acquire the matafa, which is good news for the get, right? Or do we say no? that she doesn't have to have a direct yad, a tfisas yad on the get. The fact that the get is in the matafa doesn't bother me or not, because now she has access to the get. Again, she doesn't really grab onto the get yet. And that should spill a light, perhaps, on this suffix of Rabbi Lazar, because again, if the behema is not being transferred to the lokeach, then the behema might itself be the chatzitza between the lokeach's kinyan on the kalim and the maisa that he did on the behema, because the maisa was done on the behema and not on the kalim themselves. Go ahead.
So it's a chatzer mehalechet. The behema, the matafa, at least stays still.
Right, that's going to be the Gemara later on, that we're talking about a kafus. We're talking about a case where the animal is tied up. That's we didn't get to that yet. You know, you're right. You're introducing another element to the equation. Even if I would be machni you the animal, how could the animal serve as a chotzer? It's a chotzer malechas or chotzer shena mishtameres, and then we need to introduce the Gemara's final maskona that the animal is kafus. But what I'm saying is that even if the animal is kafus, I still appreciate Rabbi Lozov vacillating back and forth, because how can you machna something when the kona is not doing an action directly on the object that he's being kona, but rather through the intermediary of another object which he's not being kona, which is really holding on to the object that he wants to be kona, and that's the sugya of kalev shel mocher, where the mocher retains ownership over his kalim, and the question is whether that could be considered a kinyan on the kalim when there's no direct action on the kalim, just like in the case of tfisas yad on the get, when she didn't really grab the get, she grabbed over the matafa. And Reb Chaim says that if kalim shel mocher is a problem, then you have a chatzitza here and she never actually acquires the get, and that's going to salvage the get, that's going to save the get, because then he's machna the matafa, and now agav the matafa. So in this case, if you hold like that mani omar, and if Reb Chaim, you know, on that side he's machna the get, then here he, the mocher, would have to be machna the behema, and then after being machna the behema, now the lokeach can acquire ownership over the kelim. So the Gemara immediately asks, we'll go for another 5 minutes or so, the Gemara immediately asks the following question. Liknos? What exactly did the mocher say? The Gemara is getting very picayune about the exact formulation, the language of the mocher. What did he say? He said to him, "Meshoch behemazu liknos? Mi amar liknei?" And then the Gemara rewrites the text of Rabbi Elazar. Ela meshoch behemazu uknei kalim shaleh. So if he says liknos, and he doesn't say knei, then clearly there's no kinyan. So what's the difference here between liknos and knei? Why is Gemara putting so much emphasis on the lashon of the mocher? Did he say liknos or did he say knei?
Well, that's das makne. When you say knei, then you're causing it to happen. Liknos, right, is it just a description of what might happen here.
So I'm going to tell you the way the Rush learns this Gemara, and let's see, Yosef, if we can fit in your pshat into the Rush. The Rush says that there are two parts to every kinyan. There's the intention of the makne to transfer ownership, and the intention of the kona to acquire ownership. Says the Rush, herein lies the difference between knei and liknos. Liknos means that you, the lokeach, have vested interests here to acquire ownership over the kelim. That's not a language of kinyan. Why? Because the ikar kinyan, says the Gemara, is to be makne, which means that the thrust and the emphasis has to be that the makne indicates that he wants to transfer ownership to you. That's called knei. But if he says liknos, then he's putting all the emphasis on the action of whom? What does liknos mean?
The kona.
Of the kona. So it's lokeach, the kona, who's now doing the action. But it doesn't say clearly that he, the mocher, has kavana to be makne. In other words, again, you and I would say this is like splitting hairs. But the Gemara is extremely meticulous about the language of Hakna. The language of Hakna has to indicate beyond a shadow of a doubt that the kavan of the makna is to be makna. And if I can, if I'm left with a certain element of doubt, and the language itself doesn't indicate that I, the mocher, want to be makna to you, but rather I'm just giving you rishus, I'm giving you permission to be zocha in it, that's not considered a das makna. In other words, a das makna has to be formalized, concretized, objectified, and that's not an objective language of das makna. Why? Because he doesn't say liknos, he doesn't say he doesn't say knei. Go ahead and take it out of my possession. That's how the Gemara is interpreting the word knei. Mm-hmm. But liknos means, you know what, if you're in the mood and you have kavana, you want to be zocha, go ahead and be zocha. But there's nothing clearly indicating that he wants to be makna. You would say, well, what do you mean? He's giving permission for the other guy to be kona. Then, ipso facto, it means that he's being makna, right? He's saying, I'm not makna, but if you want to be kona, nay. That would be something that would be appropriate perhaps for hefker, or for what we call siluk. You know, it's a person can remove himself in certain cases, it's limited, but he can remove himself from his ownership rights. But not in a case where you have full-fledged ownership rights. If you own something, you can't just remove your ownership rights. That's not possible. You have to be machneh to someone else. You can't say, well, if you want to take it, take it. I'm out of here. You know, that's not a haknah. And therefore the Gemara says, Mishof be'muzu ukne kelim shalem ma. Mm-hmm. Would the mishicha on the animal for the purpose of what? Of being kone, help me out here, the kelim, yeah. Would that be valid? Oh no, you didn't do a mishicha on the kelim, and the mishicha on the behema
is not a kinyan
because I'm not getting back to the behema, and therefore it's not a valid kinyan. So let me just read to you the footnote here in the Masifta. He writes the following. Just 1 second, just make sure I'm... Yeah. He says, Kasher Adam Moshech Kupa Bevadei Kones Masha Betocha. In other words, if I'm giving you the barrel, and I say, make a kinyan on the barrel and anything there inside, then the Mashiach on the barrel will certainly be meaningful for that which is inside the barrel. However, he says, in the case of mashiach on an animal, he says, halichas habehema nases al yidei habehema atzma. In other words, if I make a mashiach on the kupa, then nothing would have happened. You know, a kupa doesn't have feet to move on its own volition, so nothing would have happened if I didn't do that mashicha, and I'm the kona in this case. But in the case of behema, he says the following, that the animal is moving on its own volition. Your mashicha on the animal only causes the animal, it sort of like arouses the animal to move from one place to the other, but etzem alicha nases al yidei habehema atzma. Lachem, therefore, yesh listapek in mishichasa toil lekelim. So Rabosai, this is totally different than what I explained, what I thought the Gemara was talking about. I thought the Gemara was talking about the fact that he didn't do a direct action on the kelim, and the question is whether he can use the animal as a mashiach on the kelim. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that there's a problem because the animal itself has its own volition, so to speak. It's animated. Mm-hmm. And it decides, so to speak, to move, or it's actively causing the moving. So basically he's saying that even if you were to be makna the behema itself, well, just 1 second. If you were makna, so what's it? If, let me just go over this in my head. The animal is moving the kelim. Okay, good. So there's chatzah. So if he would be kona the animal, then the animal would serve as a chutz, and then we get into the whole sugya that the Gemara is going to touch on now about a chutz and malechas. But in event that he's not being kona the behema, and there was no intention for him to do so, so the behema cannot be serving as a chotzer. So the behema would therefore have to be a facilitator of a maisa mashicha on the kalim. So if it would be kalim in a kupa or something inside a kupa, then fine. Then you are actually doing mashicha on the kupa and anything therein. But in a case of behema, you're just setting it up or stimulating or arousing the behema to move on its own volition. And therefore it's not considered as you did a maisa on the kalim. Again, Rabbo said, this is not what I say. I thought, based on this story of the Matafa, that the problem is that since the mocher is holding on to the behema, and he's not willing to part with the behema and be machnit, therefore you're doing a kinyan on the kalim, but you're doing it through the object that belongs to the machne, and the object belongs to the machne is going to form a wedge or a chatzitz or a barrier for you to make a kinyan on the kalim. But he's saying something totally different. He's saying that you didn't cause the kalim to move. Who caused the kalim to move? It was the animal itself, animal herself. Varashba bir she'im haya omer lo limshoch es hakelim. For who haya moshech as a behema kedesha mishichaso v'mishichaso yimshechu yimoshku, I guess, gama kelim. Haya kone.
That was with the animal itself.
A cook. Kan medubar sha'omer lo lasas a mishicha v'behema.
That sounds like a kinyan agav.
No. He's saying the following. Everything depends upon the das makna of the makna, says the Rashba. If he says to the lokeach to do a mashiach on the kalim, that's if he says to do a mashiach on the kalim, and the lokeach decides that how is he going to implement this mashiach on the kalim, he's going to be moshech the animal instead of being moshech the kalim, says the Rashba, then it's exactly equivalent to kupa and his kona. Why is Rabbi Elazar doubtful about this kinyan? Because kan medubar, because we're talking about a case sha'omer lo lasas a mashicha b'behema v'lo b'kelim. So he was makpid that first he should do a maisa kinyan on the behema, and therefore we have to ask the question whether mashicha on the behema is meaningful for the kelim. If he tells him to do mashicha on the kelim, and he, the lokeach, decides to do what? To do mashicha on the behema, that's one thing. And that would be valid, because he was instructed, he was mandated to do a mashicha on the kelim. But when the mocher mandates him to do a mashicha on the behema, then we have the suffix of Rabbi Elazar, because he's doing a mashicha on the behema, that's exactly what he was meant to do. And he only had license to make a mashicha on the behema, and we're not sure if the mashicha on the behema would be valid for the kelim. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll have to stop here, but in mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to embellish this a little bit further. I hope you enjoyed this discussion about Reb Chaim, a very, very interesting piece.